Chapter 18. Zara. The ringing of bells in Dunmar City signals the dawn, though it's hard to tell due to the perpetual darkness within the mountain. Yawning, I get myself ready and head downstairs, where a plain meal of porridge is waiting for us. The soldiers all seem restless as we eat breakfast, shifting uncomfortably and eyeing our Nightingale guards as they stand watch by the front door. Owen and Talon talk about taking the day to train in hand-to-hand combat. Going over the exercises they will do and the various forms they will practice, they jest about how many black eyes they'll give each other by the end. Owen belatedly offers to have me join them so he can show me some moves in self-defense, but I politely decline, stating that I'd rather clean chamber pots than have to smell a sweaty Talon. To be honest, I'm quite excited to take this opportunity to explore the city. The scholar in me wishes to learn about the Nightingales, to observe their hidden society, and determine what makes them different from the rest of the country. Owen protests, of course, claiming that it'll be dangerous for me to go out into the underground city alone, but I assure him that I will be all right. I am a mage, after all. Having finished my meal, I bid them farewell and head outside, emulating the High Magus as I inform the guards that I will require an escort. I wish to go out into the city, I say with an air of command. One of you will please accompany me so that I will have a guide. Thank you. They eye each other for a moment before one of them steps forward, a young man in mail armor who can't be more than a few years older than me. I'll go with you, he says, in a tone that is surprisingly polite. I know this city like the back of my hand. Excellent, I reply coolly, stepping away from our dismal building and heading toward the street. I call back to him without looking over my shoulder. Come along, then. The rattling of chainmail tells me that he has fallen into step behind me. We get no more than a few steps away from our lodgings when a familiar face materializes from a nearby alley. Elias, now wearing his customary ranger cloak and leather armor, is flanked by a pair of official-looking men in crisp black uniforms, swords hanging from silver sheaths on their hips.
Seeker, he says with a respectful nod.
Oh, good morning, Elias. I wasn't expecting to see you today. He looks past me, eyes lingering on the nondescript building we'd come from.
Did they provide you with adequate sleeping arrangements?
Adequate is a good word for it, I suppose. He doesn't immediately reply, and I find myself frowning as I look from him to his black-clad attendants, then back to him. The ranger appears to be lost in thought, as if puzzling out what he should say next in his head. Glancing down, I can see Owen's hatchet hanging from his belt, along with his own long-bladed knife that he's so fond of using. I clear my throat. Is there something I can help you with? His eyes snap back to me, his thoughtful expression vanishing in an instant.
Have you had a chance to speak with Owen? How's he doing?
About the same, I admit regretfully. I tried talking with him, but he still seems troubled. I think being cooped up here is quite unsettling for him. A look of disappointment flashes in Elias's gray eyes.
Well, keep at it. He'll open up eventually. I know he will.
He trails off for a moment, then grunts, reaching into a pocket in his cloak. I catch a glimpse of bluish crystal as he holds out a closed fist between us.
Here, he says gruffly. A mage shouldn't be without her talisman.
Bewildered, I reach forward, and he drops it into my open palm. But didn't the Protector's men want us disarmed while we were in the city?
I have a certain relationship with Xanderthel, he replies. I was able to convince him to give it back to you. The others will have to wait, though. Frankly, you're the only one I trust not to do anything unwise.
I close my fingers around the crystal, Its magical warmth feels comforting against my skin. Thank you, Elias. Truly.
He grunts again. Take care while you're about. I can't promise that some fool resident of this city won't try to stick a knife in you. You lot are kingsmen, remember? They might think you're here to bring them harm.
I give him a questioning look. If we're kingsmen, then what does that make you?
He stares at me for a long moment before eventually looking away, his hard exterior cracking.
I'm something else.
With that, he turns on his heel and strides off, the two men accompanying him as he disappears down another street. Placing the talisman around my neck, I can't help but wonder what in the light he meant by his last statement. Sighing, I turn back to my guard, who wears a look of open confusion on his face.
Come along, I say, continuing on to the main thoroughfare. We still have a city to see.
Without the sun, it's difficult to judge time in Dunmar City. Bells, rung from what looks like a lighthouse in the center of the city, let the citizens know what time it is without having to go outside. Bulbous glass lamps hang from poles and light the streets at all hours of the day, giving the cavern the constant appearance of a city filled with twinkling stars. As we make our way down the street, I'm immediately greeted by the familiar sounds of city life, the din of people talking over one another, and the noise of carts rattling and merchants hawking their wares. A group of children passes us by, running and laughing while adults look on with disapproval, probably wondering where their parents are and why they're letting their little ones run rampant through the streets. I breathe in the air, taking comfort in the fact that, despite being in a massive cave, the smells of the city are very similar to what one would expect to find in Tarsus. For a time, we wander through the crowded districts, passing shops and people haggling with merchants at various stalls. Once again, I'm taken by how similar these people are to the citizens of Tarsinium. They go about living their lives as if the war is some distant thing, a trivial bit of news that has little impact on their day-to-day activities. Every so often, I do catch glimpses of subtle differences. All the able-bodied men in the city appear to be armed, and banners flying the silver bird can be seen hanging from buildings, proudly proclaiming their allegiance to the rebellion.
It's an odd sensation, but I actually find myself starting to enjoy my forced incarceration within this city. My scholarly side loves observing these folk in their natural environment.
We pass an iron brazier on the side of one of the streets, smoldering with a giant ball of mage fire. I stop before the brazier, pointing at the flames and looking over to my guard. The sight of it once again gives me pause.
This is mage fire, I say. How is this created?
The guard glances at the flames, then back at me, shrugging and causing his mail armor to clink.
It was created by the mages, he says, as if his response is the simplest thing in the world.
The mages? I ask dubiously, crossing my arms in front of me.
You mean the conclave? He shakes his head.
No, I mean the cabal. Their base is located over in the Liberty Quarter.
He points to the middle of the cavern.
Take me there, I demand, turning in that direction. I would like to see this cabal, if possible.
Grudgingly, the guard complies, taking me down a series of roads and side streets.
A rogue group of mages, I think to myself, amazed by the revelation. The Nightingales actually have their own version of the conclave, here, in the city.
If the High Magus ever found out about this, she'd probably come knocking down those gigantic doors herself. When we arrive in the Liberty Quarter, I see a large domed structure in the middle of a wide, empty courtyard. Blue lamps, burning with mage fire, give the area an azure cast, and swirling patterns have been carved into the stony ground,
making the deserted courtyard appear both enchanting and mysterious. The building itself is only 3 stories tall, but the dome encapsulating it, made from polished bronze, gives the structure a regal look, different from anything else in Dunmar City.
"There it is," the guard says, sounding reverent. "The Cabal."
I immediately begin making my way toward the domed building. "Thank you for bringing me here," I say without looking over my shoulder. "You may wait for me outside."
"Wait!"
the guard exclaims, rushing to my side and grabbing my arm. He pulls me to a stop, and none too gently. His eyes are full of panic.
"The mages don't receive visitors," he says,
releasing me as I pull my arm away.
"It's forbidden to approach their home uninvited."
I draw myself to my full height, raising my chin in a look of indignation. "I'm going in there," I say firmly, "with or without you. I'm a mage as well, and it's imperative that I find out what this cabal really is." He swallows, eyes darting from me to the building before finally wilting, his shoulders sagging. For a guard, he doesn't seem to have much of a backbone, though I suppose that has more to do with my status as a mage than anything else. Turning my back on him, I cross the distance between us and the domed structure in short order. I begin to climb the steps before the guard curses and finally follows me. I push open the front door. Stepping inside without hesitation, I find myself in what appears to be a dimly lit library. Orderly rows of bookshelves are set up in the large rectangular room, filled with books and scrolls of every size, shape, and dimension. As I walk, the nervous guard trailing behind me, I am immediately confronted with the scent of incense mingled with old parchment, the sweet, slightly mildewy aroma filling my nostrils and reminding me oddly of home. The doors creak shut behind us as I continue, examining the tall bookshelves with an appraising eye. While not as impressive as the great library of the Conclave, this collection is certainly extensive and well-maintained. Where, I wonder, are the mages in charge of this place? Wandering down a row of bookshelves, I spot a wizened old man in a dusty black robe, snoring softly in a plush chair behind a desk. His white beard, long and thick, rustles gently as he breathes, and a long, crooked nose adorns the middle of his face, upon which is perched a pair of round spectacles. Embroidered on the breast of his dark robes is a silvery flying bird, the symbol of the nightingales, set inside of an upside-down triangle. I approach him, despite the whispered protests of my guard, and attempt to get his attention.
"Excuse me,"
I whisper, leaning forward and knocking gently on the wooden desk in front of me.
"Can I ask you some questions?"
The old man doesn't stir. Glancing over my shoulder, I see that my youthful guard has grown pale and is clearly uncomfortable with what I'm attempting to do. I ignore his pleading eyes and renew my efforts, determined to wake the black-robed man.
"Excuse me," I say a little louder, rapping my knuckles even harder on his desk.
Still, the old man remains asleep. Sighing, I take a step back and reach for my talisman, channeling a little source energy to lend me aid. Raising my other hand, I utter the words of power associated with radiant lashings.
"Siangel Anfir."
A thin blue tendril of magic shoots from my fingertip and arcs over the desk, snaking its way over to the old man's face. It gently but firmly plugs the old man's nose, silencing his snores and forcing him to take in a ragged breath through the mouth. His eyes open wide, and he gasps as I release the spell, causing the radiant lashing to dissipate. The guard cringes and gives me a horrified look, but I merely stand there, regarding the mage with a self-satisfied expression.
I am Seeker Zara Denel of the Conclave of Mages, I say, still holding on to the source crystal around my neck. I've come to speak with a member of the Cabal. Are you one of them? The old mage regards me for a moment, bushy white eyebrows knitting together in confusion, before finally responding in a voice like creaking leather.
Light? A young mage? Well, that's one way to wake an old man up. From the Conclave, you say? Interesting. I assume you're with the group that came from the outside yesterday?
I nod.
Interesting, he says again, stroking his beard with a bony, liver-spotted hand. Well, we heard rumors that there was a blue robe with the king's delegation, but I didn't think we'd be hearing from you so quickly, or at all, for that matter. King Aethelgar's agents have an awful habit of ending up in the Protector's dungeon before too long.
I'm not one of King Aethelgar's agents, I reply coolly. I represent High Magus Sylvania Holden of the Conclave. He waves a dismissive hand.
If you live in Tarsus, then you're an agent of the king. But no matter. I suppose I should introduce myself. My name is Ignus, and I am one of the three mages that make up the Cabal.
Three? I ask, surprised. The Cabal has only three members?
Indeed, he replies, smiling faintly. We lack the recruiting pool and the source crystals to support as many mages as the Conclave. But still, we support the free people of Dunmar all the same, providing for them in all things magical.
I stare at him, momentarily dumbfounded. Three mages, I think in amazement. To support an entire city? It must be quite an endeavor. Even so, it's amazing that three rogue mages supporting the Nightingales have gone unnoticed for so long. After an awkward pause, I give Ignus a slight bow. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm also interested to learn more about the Cabal and how we can promote peaceful discourse between our two great organizations.
Bah, says Ignus, scooting his chair back and getting to his feet. We're fleas compared to the might of the Conclave. But your diplomacy is nevertheless appreciated. Come on, then. I'll introduce you to the others.
He totters off, leaving my guard and me to look at one another uncertainly. Then, taking a deep breath, I follow the old man, passing rows of bookshelves, while my guard clinks reluctantly behind me.
The Cabal is a relatively new institution, Ignus says, his voice carrying through the library. Compared to the Conclave, anyway. It was founded by myself, Edna, and Aldor, when we defected from Tarsinium and sought a new life in these mountains. We detested the corruption of the royal court, and the bureaucratic apathy of the Conclave, no offense.
None taken, I reply. He approaches the far wall and pushes open a nondescript door, climbing the winding set of stairs beyond. Following, I listen intently to his story.
As you can imagine, the Nightingales soon found us, he continues, huffing as he makes his way up the steps. It was a good thing, too. Mages and scholars make poor survivalists, I'm afraid. We offered them our services, and in exchange they took us in, bringing us to Dunmar City to aid them in any way we could. That was, perhaps 50 years ago.
We reach the top of the stairs, and he pushes open another door, leading us into what appears to be a study, with three armchairs set in a semicircle beside a roaring fireplace. Strange trinkets line the walls, and two other elderly mages sit facing the fire, a man and woman. They look up as we approach, both of their bespectacled faces twisting into looks of curiosity.
Ignus, says the woman, who I assume to be Edna. Whom have you brought to us today?
Blue robes,
rasps the other seated man, Aldor. He is bald with drooping cheeks and a patch covering one of his eyes.
She must be the mage who accompanied the kingsman.
This, Ignis says, gesturing to the two of us, is Zara Denel and her escort. What is your name?
Will,
says the guard, his voice sounding small beside me.
Will, repeats Ignis, turning to face his companions. Zara here wanted to ask me questions, so I thought I'd bring her up here to speak with all three of us.
You old fool,
Aldor says, before descending into a fit of coughing. When he finishes, he goes on.
You'd bring a rival mage into our base of operations.
She's just a girl,
Edna adds, her tone in agreement with the man sitting next to her.
I doubt she's worn that robe for very long.
She's not going anywhere, Ignis replies, shuffling over to the empty armchair by the fire.
And from what I've gathered, she seems nice, if a bit impulsive, using her powers to wake a sleeping old man. I doubt she'll be a threat to us. So, what questions do you have for us, Zara Denel? You have the Nightingale Cabal all together, ready and listening.
He sits down heavily in the last armchair and looks up at me, expression mildly amused. For a moment I just stare at them, confused by the whole exchange. After barging my way in and demanding an audience, these rogue mages, who are old enough to be my great-grandparents, are now simply welcoming me in? And are complying with my request? Light, what a strange world. After a minute, I clear my throat. I suppose I want to know everything. Let's start from the beginning, shall we?